Why does God place his people in the fire of trials and tribulations? One reason is because he is refining them as gold. Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. The theme of the message is the Messiah coming as the refiner of his people. Dr. Beakey has already begun to look at the way that Christ refines his people, and now he will look also at how Christ refines them and the precious results of his refining. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
He sits, Malachi says, as a refiner and purifier of silver. He sits looking over it, and he's cleansing it. He's taking away it. Oh, there's a little bit of dross. He takes it away. And then he purifies it and forms it to honor him. And so when the Bible speaks of this, it almost always speaks of gold and silver, because gold and silver were the two most valuable metals of the day. And God's work in his own people is extremely valuable, always, to God. Even the death of his people is valuable to God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the dying of his saints. That is, dying to my own righteousness every day, but even death itself, as we've seen this week with Wilma DeVries, God wanted her back. You see, we can look at it and say, oh, it's too bad she fell. And we look at that from a human perspective, and that's true. But it was God's time, and God wanted her home. And we forget that because we're so earthbound. We think we want to stay here as long as possible. But God says, my time, when I've refined my people, when I prepare them for glory, I want them to be with me at their real home. We're just renters here. Our real homestead is in heaven if we're true believers. So gold and silver are valuable metals to God. He makes a golden people, a silver people, for himself. And he will do whatever it takes, dear believer, to refine you and to make you ready for glory. Puritan Stephen Charnock said, God is so determined to make his people holy and ready for heaven that he would rather rub a hole in your garment than allow the dirt to remain. God has ways of stripping us and humbling us and refining us so that we become silver in his own eyes. And he looks over us, sitting over us, and he sees his own reflection in us because of his own work. That is beautiful. It's painful as it may be to the flesh, it's beautiful to the soul. And when we come out of those afflictions or trials or whatever God sends our way to refine us, and we look back in our lives, what do we say? Lord, I needed every refining element. I needed every trial. Thank you, Lord, for the trials. I wouldn't be where I'm at spiritually if thou wert not the refiner of my soul. And so, how does God then refine us? That's my second point. Well, I'll just mention two major ways for time's sake. Two major ways. The first way, the most common way, is through afflictions. That's God's most common way. Behold, I have refined thee, Isaiah 48:10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Peter tells us that Christ will purge his people by afflictions and manifold temptations, that the trial of their faith may be found to the praise and honor of his name. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. You see, when we're tried, there's something in that trial when it gets sanctified that makes us see our sins and confess our sins and abhor ourselves and repent in dust and ashes. And that's all part of God's refining process through trial to see his own image in us. And then our hearts cling to him. We realize our need, our dependency, our impossibility to refine ourselves. And we cry out, what wilt thou have me to do? And we want to walk in God's ways. Look in your own life. Where would you be without any trials? You'd be shallow. You'd be fretting over the smallest things of life. You'd be spoiled. You'd take up your life with trivia. But when God sanctifies us and brings us into trials, we need him. We need a real relationship with him. And so our hearts cling to him and all the other things that are so secondary. They fall away. They become dross. They become slag. And we cast them away. And in the midst of our trials, we cry out, Lord, refine me, but in measure. Don't destroy me altogether, but in measure. Refine me that I may look more like thee. Bring good out of this evil. And even when we get so afflicted, sometimes we think, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has deserted me. I'm going to perish after all. Even in our hearts, even at that moment, there's this outgoing faith. There's this inward repentance that clings to God. And we say, despite who I am, despite that I deserve to be cast away, oh Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's all the refining part of Jesus. And so, don't fight against his furnaces of affliction. Don't run away from his gymnasium in which he buffets you. Remember, the refiner does not put silver in the furnace to waste it. He doesn't put his own work in the furnace to destroy it or to spoil it, but to purify it. And that's why Hebrews 12 says, he chastens us because he loves us. If you are without chastisement, you are illegitimate children and not sons. A father who loves his child will refine that child through trials. Job says, he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, God knows how to separate the very indwelling corruptions within us and to extract them and to cast them away as dross and slag. But he does that in our lives through afflicting us most of the time, by purging us, by baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The whole image is there, isn't it? It has to be heated so hot that only the silver and the gold can abide. The dross and the slag, they can't survive in 1,260 degrees. And so what happens is God heats us up, and I say that way with reverence, to such a pitch that the dross and the slag just slide away. They can't take the heat. And then God purifies us. But how? We've got no We've got no strength in ourselves to purify ourselves. He does it through His Son, of course. It's all in Jesus. Jesus who went into the hottest furnace ever. Jesus who had no dross and no slag, what was pure gold and pure silver, went into the hottest furnace ever, stoked by the Father's wrath against your sins to merit your sanctification in all the furnaces that you will ever have to go through. So that through every furnace, He will bring you out as gold without one hair singed. And so Jesus is always the first one, the fourth one, but really the first one, who's walking in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. He purifies us, refines us through affliction. But the second major way is He does it through His Word. He does it through His Word. Combined with His providential afflictions, He uses His Word to intersect with those afflictions. So that the Word of God comes to us in sermons, maybe even tonight, I hope to even tonight, on the Lord's days, through preaching, through reading the Bible, through prayer, He comes to us and He interfaces, especially His Word, in such a way that when we pray it to Him, or when we read it, or when we hear it preached, we experience the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. They are purified seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. And so as God's providential afflictions and His Word mesh in our lives, that Word becomes a powerful Word that makes us stand naked before God and searches us, a searching Word, a revealing Word, exposing our sin, a heart-breaking Word, breaking our hard hearts with the hammer of its power, an arresting Word, but also a separating Word, a stripping Word, a destroying Word, a purifying Word, an inviting Word, a Word that so sanctifies the afflictions we're receiving that the dross and the slag are destroyed, and the Word, the purifying Word, with its purifying accompanying afflictions, serve to turn us around. And then, religion is real. Then you're face to face with God. Then you need Him. Then all the secondary things in life just disappear. And your priorities get straightened. And you have moments, far too few and far too short, but moments of such sweet communion with God, even in the midst of affliction, that you say, He is the purifier and the refiner of silver. I know that experientially in my soul. So what then is the result of His refining? That's our third thought, a final thought. What's the result of that refining? Well, the result is that we become more like Christ. He sits over us and He does this work by afflictions and by His Word. His eyes are on the hot furnace upon His own work. And He waits for the ripe time to scoop out the silver. When the silver is separated from the dross. And that right time is when He sees His own face reflected in His people. He sees His own image. So when Christ becomes all in our heart, He is forming us to be His fit vessel. And soon He takes us home to be with Him forever. And so when self is mortified, when we are made conformable to His image, when He sees His own face, His own image reflected in our daily walk, in our prayers, in our worship, you see, then the time is ripe for spiritual growth and grace not only, but soon also to be taken home to glory. So what does Christ see in your heart, in my heart tonight? What does he see in our prayers? What does he see in our religion? What does he see in our scripture reading? What does he see in our family worship? What does he see in our congregation? What does he see in our church activities? Well, by nature, nothing worthy to be salvaged. And even by grace, sometimes that which is worthy to be salvaged, which is, of course, his own work, is all so dim and so faded that we cry out with Lamentations 4, verse 1, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? You see, we're always taking God's work and we're dimming it. We're spoiling it. We're making it lukewarm again. We're bringing the dross and the slag back in some way. But Christ will not even destroy the dim gold or the dim silver. Even if the silver is very small, he will keep working with it. He will stop us from bringing the dross and the slag back through afflictions and through his word. And he will separate us again to his glory and salvation. Like the canons of Dort say so beautifully, even though we may stumble into sin and we think we've destroyed the complete work of God, he will not utterly leave his people, but he will restore in them the grace of repentance, and he will bring them back to himself, and he will refine them the more. Through that very repentance, he will work in them so that nothing of value will be lost. Nothing stamped with his own work will perish. No living grain will drop to the ground and be trampled underfoot. For lo, Amos 9:9, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Now here's the comforting thing. No matter what we ask for, no matter what we want, Jesus Christ will all our life be busy conforming us to his image, which is what we need most of all. And then he lets us make the transition to glory. The result of the refining, the ultimate result, is being taken out of all furnaces and being brought to heaven forever, being made ripe for glory, being made ripe to cross the Jordan into the open arms of Jesus, to enter into the joy of the Lord. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the end goal in you. And so the Lord's Supper is just a foretaste of that. We come praying, Lord, throw away all my dross, all my slag, and at the table of the Lord, let me experience, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So on the day of the second advent, who may abide his coming? Those who have been refined in his furnace. Isn't that exactly what John says in Revelation? Who are these that are entering in? These are they who have come out of great tribulation. They've been in the furnace, and they've washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, for all those who know even a little bit of self becoming nothing at all in Christ's presence, and Christ becoming all in all, they are the ones invited to the table of the Lord. They are the ones that are being formed by the silversmith, being refined and formed in accord with his will. And so when tribulations come, don't despair. It's your Father, through his Son, by his Spirit, refining you, ripening you for the second advent. Romans 5, 3 through 5. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So what must we take away from this sermon if you're a believer? Well, seek grace to trust your refiner more. And I want to give you three closing motivations to trust him more. First is this: his skill is infinite. He's a perfect refiner. He's not like an earthly physician who can make mistakes. He makes no mistakes. He knows the nature of his materials. He remembers you are dust. He knows how much you can bear. His skill is infinite. He won't try you beyond what he will give you grace to bear. Remember that. Trust him. His skill is infinite. Number two, his experience is extensive. He's not a brand new surgeon. He's not a brand new silversmith. He's been in the furnace business longer than you. He's been through the furnace hotter than you. Like a good employer, he will not put you through anything he was not willing to go through himself. He was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. His experience is extensive. You can rest in his hands. Sometimes some of us are going to the hospital, and I often, as you know, I often ask you the question before you go into surgery, how are you doing? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? And sometimes some of you will say to me, well, no, I'm really not very anxious because I've got a very experienced surgeon. He's got a wonderful reputation. And you know your ultimate trust is in the Lord, of course, but it's a good feeling to know you've got a very experienced surgeon. That you're not his first case. Well, the Lord is a wonderful refiner of silver. His name is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Peace. And thirdly, his tenderness is unbounded. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was Saul persecuting? The church. Jesus said, me, because I'm the head. The church is the body. And the head cannot be severed from the body. He feels the infirmities of his people as if they were his own. And so when he sits as a refiner, he watches the whole process. He does it not as just a mere spectator. Not as someone who's indifferent to what you're going through, but as a tender physician, one who's unbounded in his tenderness. He guides the whole process. He bestows upon his vessels of mercy, of whom he shall lose none, a crown of glory that fades not away. Oh, he will take care of you to the end. So, just put yourself in his hands. If I perish, I perish. But I will go in unto the refiner, and I will cry unto him, refine me, until thou dost see thy own image in me. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like unto them that go down into the pit. Behold, he comes. He comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And those who have been refined as silver, they are the ones that shall arise with healing in their wings, and they shall go forth and grow up forever in glory, perfectly, completely, as calves of the stall, in the freedom of sin-free, everlasting bliss. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen. Gracious God, we thank thee so much for the gospel. We thank thee that thou art the refiner of silver. and that thou wilt put the silver there by thy own work, and then wilt heat it up and smelt us and refine us and form us, purify us, so that we may be vessels of mercy, created by thee, formed by thee, to give thee honor and to enjoy thee forever and forever and forever. O Lord, we thank thee for being that tender, that experienced, and that skillful silversmith. Help us then, also this week, also come Sunday morning, to put ourselves unconditionally in thy hands and minister to us out of thy fullness, grace for grace. Come now, Lord, and sit over us. Sit over us and look upon us as a refiner and purifier of silver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."